We are here in the house of God this morning. Our purpose is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it is necessary for each of us to be able to say sincerely with the Apostle John, as recorded in the book of Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he was given that great vision of things past, things present, and things future. As a Christian people here, we ought to be conscious of the glory that is to come. And that is why I read from both Psalm 115 and from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And one particular text I would like to set your heart and your mind upon and draw your attention to this morning is verse number 35 of Matthew 24. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, these words were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ under the shadow of Calvary, and within the context of the promise of a second coming and the end of the world as we know it. And in that passage, and to those disciples, the Saviour speaks as the Son of God, as God the Son, with absolute certainty. And that absolute certainty we should emphasize this morning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Of course, the whole Bible is full of references to the last great day of the Lord. In Psalm 96 and verse 13, the Lord cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall judge the people with his truth. Now, that note of certainty continues in the teaching of the apostles who followed Christ. Take the word of the apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10-11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, as Christ taught, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And the Apostle Peter continues, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and here's the rub, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? It's a sobering thought, not only for the sinner, it's a sobering thought for the professing Christian. The entire testimony of Scripture is that the last day will arrive. When least expected, when least expected by an ungodly world. The last time will inevitably come. The last trumpet will finally sound. The end of all things, the Apostle James has got it right, James 5 and 7. The end of all things is at hand. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, this doctrine of the second glorious advent of Christ is thus set forth in the scriptures as something which is absolutely certain to happen. An event which is going to take place with all certainty. What will be its nature? It will be a world-shattering event, a cataclysmic world-shattering event. It will be, as the Reverend W.J. Greer in his book on the Second Coming of Christ, it will be the momentous event. Read that book. It's worth reading. It will be the end of all things. It will be an unexpected event by an ungodly world. It will bring to an appointed end this present age. It will usher in the setup of the last judgment. It will herald the arrival of the new heavens on the new earth. And it will be the personal arrival of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Christ has spoken the truth because Jesus Christ is the truth. One great English poet put it like this. It is the one great, far-off, divine event to which the whole creation moves. And as each day passes, that event gets nearer. Whilst it will hold nothing but terror for the ungodly, the Christian should be living. Every one of us should be living as professing people of God in the expectation of this glory which is going to arrive. Eye hath not seen. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, what things the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. It has not even entered in to the heart of men. And Paul cites there from Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4, showing the agreement of the prophets of the Old Testament with the apostles of the New. Something which is certain to happen, the inevitable event. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So after that introduction, our first point is basically simple, easy to remember. The great fact. Heaven and earth shall pass away. There is absolutely no uncertainty here in the words of Christ. It is absolute certainty. These words are as clear as possible. These words are as sound as a bell. The words of the Saviour under the shadow of Calvary are also recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse number 3. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also. And if it were not so, I would have told you. So here is speech, and here is promise, that prophesies a great fact, that this second advent will take place. The words of Scripture concerning the second coming speak, friends, they speak as if the second advent had already taken place. So convinced they are that it will take place. Now, when you read Scripture in the Spirit, you do get the impression that the re-entry of our Lord Jesus Christ is just around the corner. Now, we know that certain events are to take place before the great arrival of Christ, before his great return. But in these words, heaven and earth will pass away. We are being informed of something so certain to take place that it already is a great fact. As a certain fact, there lies ahead at the last great day solemn scenes of an assembled world of men and nations standing before the final bar of God's righteous judgment to be forever, for the rebellion against God, condemned to hell forever. These things will happen. These things are appointed to happen. They will take place. Now, if I were standing here this morning, and this was an evangelistic meeting, perhaps there might even be souls here, I don't know, outside of Christ. We warn you concerning these solemn scenes that will take place before the judgment bar of God, before the great white throne, an assembled and rebellious world condemned to the flames of hell forever. That you, if you are outside of Christ, lose not a moment, delay not one second, to flee from the wrath which is to come on that ungodly world, and to trust in Christ, to shelter under the broken body and the shed blood of the Lamb of God, to hear the Lord say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. To trust in Christ, whatever age you may be, before it is too late. But as a Christian people, are we prepared for this serious and solemn situation? We ask the sinner to pray, O Lord my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the blood of Christ and take my sins away. We ask the sinner to pray that prayer. But as a Christian people, let us remember that each of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ for assessment, the divine assessment of the lives that we have lived in this world. and our Christian service. Every one of us are far from being perfect. Let us remember that we adopt a Christian attitude to our fellow believers, that we walk carefully, that we pray regularly, that we live godly, righteous and sober lives to the honour and glory of our Saviour's name. We will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be condemned, but to be assessed. The second advent of Christ will create a solemn situation. That's the great fact. And the second point, the great contrast in this verse. But my words shall not pass away. Christ said to Pontius Pilate, "He that is of the truth heareth my voice." The backup here we find in the book of Psalms. We're singing twice from Psalm 119 this morning because it's so much related to the word of God and prayer. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 100 verse 5. His truth endureth unto all generations. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. The word of the Lord endureth forever. John's Gospel 17 and 17, the great high priestly prayer. Thy word is truth. The truth cannot be destroyed. That is our strength. Truth is fixed. Truth is permanent. Truth is abiding. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is permanent. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth is abiding. Truth is unchanged and unchanging. The truth spoken by the men of the Old Testament, by our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, by the apostles who followed him, and by those who walk in the footsteps of Christ and the apostles. Truth is indestructible. This is the great contrast. All those things, says Christ, will pass away. But these words of mine, they are definitely not going to pass away. The world in which we live, everything fluctuates. Everything changes. Everything passes away. But my words shall not pass away. The word of God stands, and everything else falls. And let us be trusting in the impregnable words of Holy Scripture. We are standing on the promises of God. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground sinking sand. And what was true in the times of the Bible, what was true in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, will remain true for all eternity, reaching away into that renewed world where God dwells with his people forever. And amid all the changing scenes of life, I am resting on the Word of God. And I trust that every soul here this morning is resting on the Word of God. Heaven and earth will definitely pass away, but my words, these words of mine, shall never pass away. So we had the great fact, now the great contrast, the third point, the great directive. We go there to verse 42 in Matthew 24. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Be on the watch. Be on the alert. Be awake. Therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. The great directive here. Watch. Christ said to the apostles, watch and pray. I'd like to quote here directly from the Reverend Morris Roberts. He says, it is a feature of true Christianity that it points us continually to this coming day of God. This is not because we have not sufficient work to do here and now on earth, but only those whose eye is on that future can serve God properly in the here and now. Those who are not heavenly minded are of little earthly use. The scriptures, friends, remind us that all the great servants of God looked fervently to the end of this world. It was in that spirit that Noah built the ark in a desert. It was in that spirit that Moses rejected the treasures of Egypt. In that spirit, David prophesied of the spread of Christ's peaceable kingdom. And in the same spirit, the Apostle Paul and others travelled with Christ's gospel around the old Roman Empire. And the principle has not changed in this so-called modern age of ours. Martin Luther and John Calvin filled Europe. Yes, they did. They filled Europe with this teaching. Martin Luther, with his theology, the just shall live by faith in Christ alone. John Calvin, taking the great struggle initiated by Luther, systematizing, collecting, and putting together the great doctrines of the Reformation into systematic and tidy order, as we might say. Jonathan Edwards preached this message to New England, and a great revival of true religion resulted. Charles Haddon Spurgeon proclaimed this gospel with great effect to Victorian England, along with others. All because these men viewed the world in which they live, the people and their situations to which they preached, in the light of eternity. And until we see the affairs of of today, in the context of the last day, we are unfit to serve God in our day and generation. We have got to live, as one preacher said, with eternity's values in view, and never take our eyes off those principles. All forms of false religion, we had it there in Psalm 115, the insufficiency, the inadequacy, the hopelessness of false religion. They're all short-sighted, every one of them. They offer good things today without regard to eternity. See, Satan well understands that sinners prefer blessings today rather than in eternity. Liberal so-called modernistic Christianity, which is not Christianity, it has tried to set the church to work for a social and a political kingdom. Romanism directs men's gazes to masses, to pope, to priests, to altars, to saints, to angels, to Mary, rather than to our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Charismatic Christianity, so-called, stresses signs and wonders and sensations and excitement and entertainment, all of which take the eye of faith away from the consideration of the last day. Charles Darwin and his evolutionism, Karl Marx and his communism, Sigmund Freud in his humanistic psychology, they all lacked a sense of the world to come. Communism denies it. They all lost the sense of the dimension of life beyond the scene of time. They have led people astray by drawing their attention away from the great goal of history. The end of time. The arrival of a new world in which dwells righteousness. The coming of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in power and in great glory. The Lord Jesus Christ and all the great Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles focus the attention of people on the last time. That final moment that will arrive. That day of a reckoning for the Christian and for an ungodly world. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The time is short. The fashion of this world is passing away. The Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven. Therefore, let us not sleep as those in the darkness. Men like Karl Marx, and Darwin and Freud, as we said, lacked the sense of direction and caused those who follow them to lack a sense of direction. To see the end of things as the Bible teaches is to be able to get right the priorities of time and the priorities of perspectives of eternity. The Christian should be moved and motivated and stimulated by the serious consideration of the last day. For whilst we will not be condemned with the world, we're all going to appear there before that judgment seat of Christ. He reads us through and through. He knows us completely. There is to be no sham in his presence, no hypocrisy. Now the church at large today I know that this gospel is preached in this church. But there are so many churches today who are not preaching this gospel of the kingdom of God. The church at large must recover this eschatological aspect of the gospel to cry urgently. The church has got to do it. We have got to recover it. Flee from the wrath to come. And the due and serious consideration of the end will have the effect of driving the church and Christian people to their knees in prayer. The urgent need today for reformation and revival in the church. Reformation is to come first. The second coming of Christ, duly considered, gives the right direction to sinners to flee to Christ for salvation, and to the people of God to cry out, Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. So come. A great fact. Heaven and earth will pass away. A great contrast. My words shall not pass away. A great directive. Be ye also ready. What are we going to do about it? Let us go home from this morning service. Search the hearts, the minds, and the consciences in the presence of the Lord to determine, are we the type of Christian that we ought to be, seeing that all these things are going to happen. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Amen. Thank you.